need one more. I just need one more.
Hey.
I just need one more. I just need one more. I just need one more. You don't pick up.
Me and this bitch, Slice Camera. It's all about that action. Y'all know what it is. It's your boy, Son of the Waves. This is What's the Wave. Thank y'all for tuning in. Episode 51.
What?
We here, bro.
Right.
Like I said, we almost a year in. Thank y'all for wherever you may be watching, probably on YouTube or wherever you may be listening. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all the stuff. Smash that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Tell your auntie because this is her favorite podcast. But in all seriousness, thank y'all for supporting. We here. I got two great stars in the making in here. We got Good Company Lance and ZZ in the building today. How y'all doing? How y'all living?
Good, good. You know, GC, Lancey Bo.
Yes, Lance. Sir.
All of that. Lance. All that.
All of that.
But my name, Lance. I don't like none of them names. They stupid.
Right.
But my
still
stage
goes
name,
by them, though.
Right. My stage name is Lancey Bo. And for my friends, I'm Uncle Bean when I'm at Rush's show. But no. But like the Uncle Bean shit, they don't like when I went to the other comedy spots and I tell them that, they look at me like I'm stupid. So right. I'm like, I'm just gonna go with Lancey Bo.
We gonna rock with the Bo. We gonna rock with Lancey Bo for sure.
That's funny.
Glad to have y'all in. Glad to bring y'all on a beautiful Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday here in Vallejo, California. It's a wonderful afternoon.
Man, I'm just glad the Niners didn't win.
Ooh, we can talk about it. We already sent the shots, man. We already sent the shots, man.
That's from my mama. She called me every week during the playoffs until y'all niggas. You a Niners fan?
No, nah. I'm a Charger fan, ironically, yeah.
Oh, I don't like you
it's
either.
Okay. It's okay. It's all good. It's okay.
You feel me? She called me every day until them niggas lost the playoffs. Yeah. And talking about, we going to the Super Bowl.
You know how the Niners fans be, bro. You
party.
Already
I'm
know.
I'm like,
bro,
this is not 1993. No one cares, bro. Like,
you already
let it know
how them Niners fans be, boy. They don't let that shit live down worse. Nobody.
Ever.
Bro,
them niggas win one game. That's all they talk about.
Yeah, Niners fans. Y'all a little bit worse than Raiders fans. Me just being raised in the Bay and not being a fan of either team. Raiders fans are all crazy, but Niners, I don't know. They a little extra.
How the fuck that happen? How you not a fan of neither team? Nigga said, I'm gonna go to San Diego.
Were you born and raised here too?
Like, yeah. For the most part. I just went to elementary school in Reno, but my first favorite player in the NFL was LaDainian Tomlinson, so the running back for the Chargers.
Okay.
So
I was saying, it had to be LT.
It was the Bolts, it was LT, the Bolt, the jerseys, the powder blues. I was like, that's my squad. So that's just how it happened. Right. But yes, once again, thank y'all for coming in today. Got some good current events that we're going to bounce off of y'all, get y'all thoughts on that. For sure, talk some new music, maybe some new movies and TV y'all been watching. Talk a little bit of sports, for sure, you know, NBA playoffs. All-Star Weekend, excuse me, around the corner, Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe get y'all Super Bowl pick, who y'all think y'all going to win the big dance, for sure. And then we're going to get into the comedy realm, the comedy game, because I have two up-and-coming comedians in the making, which is fucking legendary. It's rare that you meet. Just one?
One that just be getting on. Nah,
she a comedian. One that just be holding the mic?
Nah, she's a comedian. She funnier than me.
Come on.
On stage, but she don't consider herself a comedian because I don't know.
It's okay.
And like,
my focus
hilarious.
Is the platform that we create. Something funny. That's the focus.
I love it. And we're going to talk about that too. Yes. We'll talk about the platform in specific as well. So, yes, we definitely got to showcase that for the people so they can know. But without further ado, let's just get into it. First off, let's start off talking maybe a little bit of COVID talk. You know, we're still in a panoramic, you feel me? We've been in this motherfucker for a minute, for it seemed like 3, 4, 5 years at this point. How have y'all been personally, professionally handling the pandemic, whether being outside, being inside, you know, the ups, the downs, how's the fan been and all
shit,
that good stuff?
I was already down before the pandemic.
Where?
Y'all just joined my life, nigga. I was having a shitty time in 2018,
oh,
nigga.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 2019 came, everybody got sick and shit. I was like, welcome to the party. Nigga. We all miserable. I was sitting in the house anyway. Nah, I was just playing. But it wasn't that bad at first because, like I said, I was going through some personal shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, nigga, not going outside was part of my agenda anyway. Yeah, so, nigga, when they locked us down, it was whatever. I was mad that my fucking job didn't, like, my job. I worked at a warehouse, mm-hmm. a paper warehouse, like making cardboard boxes.
Done the Mifflin?
Nah.
Okay,
just
making sure.
Right. My nigga Stanley in this bitch. We make cardboard boxes and shit mm-hmm. for wine companies and shit. And
gotcha.
Motherfuckers was drinking and ordering Amazon. Mm-hmm. So, nigga, we was never not working. And that shit pissed me off. Everybody else going to Miami and Vegas, fucking off that EDD money. I didn't get none of it. But I'm glad, though, because tax time coming. Y'all niggas got to pay that back. I don't.
Talk about it.
And I got That's kids. Real. What you talking about? It's my PPP right now.
Come on. You talk about me? It. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad to see you were able to stay busy a little bit. ZZ, how about you?
They hit me the opposite. Like,
word?
Complete opposite. I was I had to completely change my whole life. Wow, I'm the type of person that's like running around constantly. I got three kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, we went from school to no school. To,
right.
Like it was many. It took a lot of adjusting for me, and learning how to work from home because I never really was a work from home type of person. I mean, I've always started my own business, but right. at the same time, that was always just like a side thing.
Yeah.
So I will say the positive is it made you, like, if you're a creative,
yeah,
definitely gave you like the time and
facts.
Space to dive more into your creativity. Mm-hmm. But you also had to still, like, you still had life. And if you're like a parent like me,
yeah,
it's like you still had to take care of your kids. And so you had the time, but you didn't. Right. So it was weird. Like, you were at home, but then you had everybody at home.
Right, then you had to become the teacher and the daycare and everything else.
So it was mainly for me. And then we just caught, like, last month, we just caught the Omarion shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Omarion or whatever.
Delta Con
or Decepticon, whatever.
It felt like we was dying at first.
Right, for like a day and a half, and then niggas was
quarantining together and shit, because we were like, we didn't know if the kids had it. We were trying to stay away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That shit was so fast.
Glad to see y'all took y'all time, you know, stayed away from everybody and, you know, took it seriously. So, exactly. We're able to bring you here on the podcast.
Yeah, right. Like COVID free, nigga.
Exactly, right.
The
man.
The shit was gone after like 5 days.
Yeah, we take that shit seriously. You feel me? Even, you know, everybody in this household, you know, we just try to make sure. It was a minute last month. I just did solo episodes just so I wasn't bringing in hella guests and stuff like that. So, because that shit is real. That shit is definitely real. Yeah. But glad to hear y'all on the comeback, you know, on the rise up, you feel me? And hopefully we can leave all that, definitely that COVID stuff in the past. But now we are, two weeks into February. It's already, a month or two into 2022. This shit already flying by like never before. Black History Month is here. You feel me? Shout out to all the black influencers, all the influential people making a difference in the black community for sure. Any people y'all looked up to, maybe just as youngins who were, you know, a person of color or a black person that y'all looked up to, whether it could be personal family, it could be somebody locally like a LaRussell, a Mac Dre, anything like that, or somebody big like a E-40, a Jamie Foxx, a Will Smith, somebody like that. Any of those influential characters in your life that you could, just off the top of your head.
I mean, you already said it, Mac Dre, for sure. Facts. That nigga was like a god to me. I used to like watch every piece of footage of him just talking. I used to just watch when I first moved back out here, you feel me? So it was like, he was like a big influence on me personally, and just my attitude on life. Like, that nigga, his like depiction of life was like crazy. It was just like, nigga, enjoy yourself,
man.
He was on some gangster shit, but if you really listen to him, he just was out here living, like, enjoying life.
I'm
nigga.
Saying though, you for real,
like, any nigga that can pop some shrooms, appeal, and then go perform, nigga, is a happy motherfucker. Yes,
I'm about to say, nigga, he's living
that's
it
just
up,
living like that was how I wanted to be. You feel me? I was a 14-year-old kid. I didn't really know adulthood yet.
But
that shit sounded good. You feel me? Like you said, Mac Dre. Of course, LaRussell, that's my brother, man. You know each other for years now. Facts. Seeing his growth is just mania, and just his focus and drive is like crazy.
Facts.
It's unmatched.
That's black excellence right there, for
man,
sure.
That's a legend in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Right. Personal, like, family wise, I ain't even gonna hold you. I ain't really got nobody.
That's real. That's real though.
I got a lot of niggas I didn't want to be
say,
like.
That's still a good influence. Like. Exactly. You knew who not to be.
I was one of them kids that you didn't have. You know, they'd be like, oh, you don't believe Fat Me's greasy, shit like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a nigga that learned from example. Nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you finna get your ass beat, are you fucked up or go to jail? I'm not doing that, bro. You know, we grew up together. You know me. I'm out. Shit go left, I'm out the way.
We knew to watch, don't speak. On it, that's y'all do. Y'all stay over there with that.
You feel me? We gonna go over here. We going to the skate park.
Hey, you feel me? Exactly. We gonna smoke at the park real quick and chill, man.
Right.
We ain't gotta go chill on the block or chill at the liquor store.
Glad I've never wanted to do. I'm glad I had enough people in my life show me that wasn't the way. Because a lot of people see niggas living like that and think that shit cool.
Facts.
Because they only see one part of it. Mm-hmm. But as a kid growing up and seeing like niggas, like knowing the shit and seeing your cousins and uncles go to jail, in and out of jail, can't really do nothing.
That shit not cool. That shit not
always
fun.
Always got to go back to that shit. It's like not fun. I'm glad like a lot of people from high school see that. Even if they was on that shit in high school, a lot of them is coming out of that shit.
Facts.
Some of them don't make it, but a lot of them do. So I think that's more important than anything.
And we was talking about that when I had K&O on. We were talking about just being the black influence just in the community. How like the OGs and stuff like that. And we went from calling my our parents' friends and stuff like miss that, Mr. This, and to now they're just Uncle and TT and Uncle Whoop. Like, it was a different level of respect. I used to respect, like, that's Miss Wendy. Like, I, that's why, that's not my Auntie Wendy. No, that's Miss Wendy. Like, I still have that level of respect from her. And how the community, we don't respect the OGs like we once did. We don't listen to the old heads. We damn near, you got motherfuckers talking about, they'll pull up to your granny house and pull gats and caps on her and shit. Yeah, like, it's wild. Like, there used to be at least kind of, you know, code of conduct, you feel me? There used to be rules to the game. Like, they ain't got no script to stick to, man.
Man,
like,
it's too much. It's too much. It's too many cameras.
That's funny you say that, because, like, one of, if I'm speaking on the black influences in my life, most of them were, I grew up, you know how they say it takes a village. I grew up playing sports and stuff like that. And so I grew up with mostly like black women. So Miss Patty, Miss Sheila, those were people that influenced me to, as like who I am as a mother right now.
You feel me?
Like
you
the way I am with my kids is besides what my mom taught me, but besides, you know, what my mother taught me, it's from them.
Exactly.
Everything, I was always at their house. Always,
you see how they exactly treated
you. Or if my mom wasn't around, they were on my ass.
You
like,
feel me? Exactly. They had permission to, you feel me, get up on your helmet.
They didn't need permission. They didn't care.
It was to that point to where your neighbors wouldn't even need permission to get up on you. They could check you, you feel me? They could pull you by the ear to your mama's house and tell them what you got into.
Facts.
Nowadays, like, If your neighbor talk to your kid the wrong way, y'all, like, it's funk, you feel me? Bruh. Like, it's not even that village feel no more. So
it's really wild. Not. That's crazy.
It's wild, man. We're in a different time. We're in a time where everything's more connected yet more divided than ever, you know? So it's wild, but
man, I blame social media.
Speaking of it, speaking of some trendy social media news lately has been going on. Shout out. I had to hit the Tyrese congratulations to Riri. She pregnant by ASAP.
Right, that was so dope. Hurt.
Congratulations.
But
it finally happened. I feel like everybody been, I feel like every year we speculate Rihanna pregnant, but now it's actually a thing and she's popping out now.
That's
so
hella funny. Y'all
think she
fan.
Yeah, you think she's gonna drop some music ever again?
I'm
or
sorry,
you think
Rihanna, because we don't never say her name right. She says her name all the time and we never say it right.
We'll keep it at Ri. We'll keep it at Ri for sure.
Ri.
But with the baby coming, do you think she's really done with music, or you think she's just gonna, you know,
hell no, what?
I mean, she's been taking this beauty brand to the max. It seems like this has been her priority. I don't follow Riri that close, but it just seemed like that's her priority over the music right now. Now with being a mother,
I don't follow Riri.
I'm just saying, now with her being a mother.
Downplay it. I don't be following her like that.
But you know, you got closer ear. Yeah. With her being a mother now, how do you see that playing out in her career? You think she's going to go back to the music, just keep doing the beauty thing, just fall back into the wayside and just be a cool ass mom?
That's the interesting thing. As a mother, I think your kids inspire you. So I can't see her giving up music, which is like, you know, you can see how much she loves music. So I know she's got her beauty brands and all that stuff, which she does love, but your kids will inspire you. Like, she's going to be inspired in a way she doesn't even understand yet. Like, she doesn't even know yet, because she doesn't have kids yet. So
that's real.
She's gonna I think that it's gonna, we might get a fire album after the baby.
Oh, you think it's gonna spark something inside of
it? It just might. Okay. I think it will.
I never really thought of it from that perspective. Yeah,
or
me,
it might
like
be like
said,
a more lovey-dovey one, because, you know, she a bad bitch. So
facts. Might be a little more caregiving type
yeah,
of feel.
but at the same time, I think it'll be different, but I think we're gonna love it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see how you can see how becoming a mother definitely will have a reflection in her music, and maybe, like you said, in her beauty brand and stuff like that. But I just feel like every year we either trying to get Riri pregnant or tell her to drop an album. So now one of those things happened. So she got the baby on the way. I know everybody's been waiting for that album or so. Shout out to ASAP though, for real, man. I feel like shout out to ASAP. I feel like it seemed like that's
what
been
did
a long
he do?
Time coming. I don't know.
What did he do? Why did everybody say shout out to ASAP? What did he do?
He got
Rihanna?
Rihanna?
Yeah. I mean,
if you're gonna shout out Jay-Z for other reason being a dope rapper, what, he got B. Like, shout out my nigga Jay.
She
might like weird. That nigga might be weird. She might like weird niggas. He might not have did nothing special. You feel me?
It's okay.
Whatever he did, Drake couldn't do. That's the only thing. I know that's the easy thing. Shout
out my nigga ASAP, bro.
Whatever he got that bag. That's what he got.
I mean, that's all he got.
Apparently. You feel me?
That's all his. He right. That's what she wanted, man. My nigga Drake professed his love to Riri on national TV, and she pushed this nigga away.
Well,
like, what?
She like what she like.
What did
she
you
like? What, she like? Like?
What did you do to
apparently
her?
She liked the dark skin niggas over the light skin niggas. You feel me? She like, you feel me?
I think she liked the privacy.
they have been low key. I think you feel right. me. I don't see. You don't really hear nothing about them. Right. You feel me being in the spotlight. I mean, they're starting to pop out now. You know, being with the pregnancy being public. Right. They're being more.
I wouldn't say Brad fell off, but it's like what.
Who's different, checking different avenues
before Riri? Different who's avenues. Checking for ASAP?
A lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, just like he's at different avenues. Different like, avenues. He went into fashion.
I'm about to say he doing his fashion
about,
shit.
I'm talking about music wise.
Oh, like, I mean, shit. Like, he was doing his shit.
Niggas ain't heavy on fashion. They follow rappers' trends. Like if nigga, if a nigga that's hot right now wears something, they gonna wear it. They don't even know why. True. Niggas be wearing
but
Mitch Max.
I say ASAP always been on the fashion chip.
Oh no, for real.
Just as an artist, he always been pretty Flocko and this and that.
Yeah, no. I'm not knocking his fashion sense. I'm just saying like niggas don't be in tune to fashion like that. So if he not dropping hard ass songs, nobody gonna fuck what he wearing.
True.
But I mean, less it go, niggas it go like hand in hand,
yeah. Because like you said, at the end of the day, niggas know him for being a rapper. So
right. So it's like they not talking about that. Like you go to Riri's shade room,
right? Not exactly.
Right. Riri's baby daddy.
Shit, that worked for
daddy.
Me, man.
I mean, right. That worked for 90%
of
niggas.
Riri's baby daddy. Right. Shit.
Exactly. Right. But no, that has been crazy. Some more also trending news as far as celeb Kanye been in the news left and right. With dealing with his children and TikTok and stuff like that.
Ain't dealing with his children. He's dealing with his ego.
As a parent, how do y'all see that? As people with, you know, your own human beings that y'all have to take care of, how do you see that playing out with just the dynamic? Even, you know, being separate from, you feel me, your mate or your counterpart or your baby mother or baby father, that dynamic of adjusting of how to bring your kid around other people or expose them to certain, you know, things on the internet and stuff like that. How do y'all see that playing out? I know it's different because they're in the public eye, so everything is just magnified. Yeah. But just, you know, coming from some normal people that we are, I guess, you know.
Like you said, being somebody got a kid and not being with the kid's parent, it's in going through that whole situation of being married and not being married and having to deal with that. Even like on a microcosm of it, like, you know, maybe 100 people know what's going on in your life on social media.
Right, right.
As a regular person.
Right.
Versus 100,000, 100 million. But at the end of the day, when you go on social media putting your fucking business out there that people don't need to know about. You're
putting your business out there.
You're embarrassing yourself and your family. Like, my problem with Kanye's situation is, bro, you claim you're doing this for your family, but if you don't want your daughter on TikTok, but you're not addressing these issues privately. You going on social media to address these issues while your daughter is still on social media. So your daughter is seeing all this, and she's embarrassed. If she don't see it, she go to school, and somebody's gonna talk about it. Somebody's gonna say something. She gotta live with this, bro. You
very true.
You embarrassing your daughter and her namesake, but she didn't ask for none of this, bro. Mm. You fucked up your marriage, or she fucked up. Well, whoever fucked up. That has nothing to do with your kid. And for you to bring the next nigga into it when you got somebody, it's just weird.
It's so sticky. Like
it's weird.
You get divorced. You get divorced and you just hop on the next bandwagon later?
But the cold part about it is the money involved. They haven't even went to court. They just been separated. They haven't even went to the process of doing anything or breaking up shit. And she's really working with this nigga because she know he has mental issues. Yeah. And when they go to court, the judge, they don't give a fuck about that if you're not getting help and you're not taking them pills. And then he going to get on social media talking about everybody against him.
And they going to pull that up in court too,
all
that shit.
All that shit up. He going to like, oh, they're using this again. Motherfucker, you're giving them the shit to use against you, and it's
facts.
And it's people that's sitting around you that's not telling you the real, bro. And I hate that for famous people and
probably
people
a lot of yes men around them.
Yeah, a lot of dick riders and motherfuckers that scared to tell you about yourself, bro. Facts. You get to a certain part, people would really be scared to tell you about yourself. Facts. And that's like crazy. I'd never want to be at the point where anybody felt like they can't, nigga, you fucking up.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
Like, you need to hear that sometimes. I don't give a fuck how smart of a person you are, how genius, how many fucking Grammys you sold.
Not perfect. Everybody
nigga,
got to be
corrected. Nigga, you fuck up.
Everybody
you a human.
Corrected, yeah.
You fuck up. So why is nobody saying, hey, bro, get off social media?
I think he's got people telling him that, though. I think people have said it in public. They've told him.
Yeah,
but he's his own person.
He's on that point where when somebody say he's something he don't like, he's an enemy. You see how he just came at Kid Cudi?
Yeah. Right.
Right. That was fucked up, bro.
I think it's just
that's
sad.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It's honestly just sad because at the end of the day, all I care about is those kids. Like, facts. It's just sad for them. We were just talking about that this morning. Like, seeing his kid. You know what I mean? Like,
seeing
him posting the kids.
Parents can't even be in the same fucking room because one of them act a fucking fool.
Like, I used to hate when my parents used to argue at the house. I'll be damned if they did it at school. Like, you feel me? And that's like public at, you feel me, your community, let alone on live in front of, like you said, hundreds of millions. Like, that's
imagine
crazy.
Like, yo, you had a birthday. You had your graduation party, your mom and daddy getting into it.
Yeah, like
how the fuck?
Damn.
Like, you can't even.
Damn, like, mama?
Right.
You laughing. Did that happen to right. you?
He's like, that shit happened.
See, like I said, as a parent and being divorced, I've been through that. I had that Kanye said where I felt everybody was against me. Yeah. And motherfuckers, you feel me? Like, niggas didn't really fuck with me. But I had to realize, like, that my kids don't care about that shit.
Exactly.
You their kids don't care about this shit I'm feeling right now. Feel that's about personal you. Shit.
Exactly.
You feel me? As long as my kids know I'm there for them, I do whatever for them. And if they need me to pick up the fucking phone, we could talk about anything or whatever. That's all I care about. Anybody else's opinion on me and my situation don't matter.
Facts.
And like I said, it's a mental thing. So if him not, like, if nobody's telling him to go to therapy, go seek help, you got to go talk about this healthily, nigga. True. You posting on social media every time you feel some type of way is not healthy.
True.
And as a woman, why would you want your kid around that? You don't know what this nigga saying when you're not around.
I mean, yeah, we already know. Yeah, Kanye has a lot of issues that he has to deal with personally. And it's sad to see that a lot of it gets brought to the public light. But I mean, it comes with the territory as is, but hey, could definitely just need a little more self awareness. But hey,
man, it is what it is. I pray for my man.
Right, it is what it is.
I really do.
Speaking of a great musician, let's talk about some new music. What's been on y'all playlist as of lately? Has it been some new school, some old school? Has it just been kind of the homies, the main people in the Good Company camp? What's been on your playlist lately? I've been slapping shit, some old Currency. I've been dived into some old R&B
old
lately.
Old Currency, what?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm trying to catch up on some stuff. Right. I've been in my R&B
back. She
knew Wiz
Khalifa before he was famous.
Look, talk I about fuck it. With Currency, though. I fuck with Currency. Most people that out here don't fuck with Currency.
Yeah, I was a Wiz kid in high school. I was all Wiz, like, for sure. But then as I got older, I understood Currency a little more. So I fuck with a lot more Currency nowadays. But
yeah, I remember the days there's nobody at the, you know, at the concerts. And they was on the couch playing video games.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, that's shit go crazy.
I remember those days. That's hella crazy. Mm-hmm. But mostly, like, on his playlist, every time we get in the car, it's LaRussell.
Come on.
I mean,
talk about it.
But that man is like, he just dropped a new album like every fucking day.
Hey, right. So
it's not like he's dropping something to the same all the time. Yeah. Yeah. Come out with something new.
So when you say new music,
day.
It's like, it's definitely LaRussell. He dropped a new goddamn
facts.
Album every
I mean,
week.
I've been slapping that 8 pounds, 2 ounces. Yeah, that's been my shit as of recent, for
man,
sure, from LaRussell.
That
I haven't even
Alpines.
Made it through all the albums.
Yeah, oh no, I have not at all. I'm just letting that one play until I'm satisfied and I'll move on, so.
That
yeah.
Zaps right. and Alpine, the one he made with Don Bailey. Oh mm-hmm.
yeah,
that's my
yeah,
shit.
That's
my shit. I like his turn up shit more than
yeah.
anything. That turn up shit. It just reminds me.
I'm hyphy at heart too.
Yeah,
so yeah.
Come on,
I'm
man. You know, you know Vallejo right. kids. This is sinners. This is all we know. Mm-hmm. So like I growing up with Mac Dre, listening to Mac Dre and listening to E-40 like that and listening to all the shit I listen to. When I hear that shit, it just make me feel like that shit never went nowhere.
Facts.
It's only got better.
I've been slapping a lot of I've seen some, I think, I don't know if it's Thizzle or some Twitter page has been saying Jack History Month. You feel
oh,
like
yeah,
Jack?
Yeah.
So I've been slapping a lot of Jacka too. I ain't gonna lie,
yeah,
I've been slapping a lot of Jacka.
They dropped all the little clips they got with the Jacka. I think
yeah,
that was
shout out
of
Jack
this.
History Month. I've been definitely going to really just some old school Bay Area hip hop, honestly, too, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's been major. Switching gears, movies or TV, which I've been watching lately.
Shit, has everything.
It been?
I
Power,
love,
Euphoria, Snowfall.
I stopped watching Euphoria when it was when the dick to pussy ratio got out of control.
Is that why we haven't watched it?
You can watch it, but every time I turn on Euphoria, it's six dicks to every titty.
I've been hearing that. I don't watch Euphoria, so I haven't. I
watch the first season.
Twitter just rips it every Sunday.
It sounds like some real sexist shit going on right now.
Nah.
Okay. You can't handle a little dicks? Like,
nah, I can't.
You can't handle a couple
dicks? I'm
allergic
to penis.
You know how often us women have had to watch fucking titties and like on screen and everything we fuck? Every scary movie has titties. Every single fucking scary movie has titties in it.
Hey, be like
whether it be dead titties or not, it's
titties
in every fucking scary movie. Like, we've had to sit through that shit. Y'all can't sit through some dicks.
Nope.
It's a good show. Like, it's worth the dicks.
Nah. Nah. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about.
I mean, hey, right. It is. At the end of the day, there always has been a double standard in media as far as women being objectified as, you know, sexual beings or objects.
Facts.
And now it's just, I just don't want it to be, my personal thing is just don't push all the homophobic stuff to the forefront to try to like downplay that other stuff. Cause I feel like nowadays in a lot of media, there's always, has to be a gay character or has to be a person doing a bisexual character. And it's like, no, there doesn't have to be. I understand shedding that light and representation and all that. I really do. But it's like, I don't feel like it should be forced. And I'm not saying in that aspect, like I said, I'm not exactly, I don't want to see a whole bunch of dicks and shit. But like I said, for years, and I agree with Z, we see a whole bunch of ass and titties all the time. They're just trying to balance it out. I don't like it because exactly, it's a double standard. I'd rather see titties and ass more than fucking genitals. That's just me too. But hey, there's a double standard in society.
Just like we've had to do, though, you know, if you don't want to see the titties, just look away for a second. Facts. If you don't want to see the dick, look away for a second.
And exactly, that's what, exactly. Like, if you watch Euphoria and you know the dick coming, nigga, just you might want to turn away, nigga.
You
know
I ain't going to lie. You don't you know. It do be kind of surprising. Right. It surprised me when I was first, when we first started the season. I was like, oh,
just carrots and potatoes right there. Bam, popping out.
At least you know when the titties coming out. You see the chick, you know, going like
getting ready for
the
titties. They just cut
strings. They start kissing and the shirt come up. You know.
They just cut strings, straight balls, man.
And most females don't mind watching titties, so I don't know what female ever. I've never been watching a movie with a bitch. I mean, a female, sorry, and she be like, "Is them titties? Turn this off." You feel me?
Because we've had to deal with it though, like forever.
It's the societal norm,
but that's
you gonna sit up here and tell me
it.
If you seen some titties on the TV?
I'm talking to her personally. You're being specific because I'm bisexual. That's not fair.
There you go.
Just because I'm bisexual don't mean I always want to see titties.
But like, it's a double standard in public. Exactly.
I'm like all titties.
If you see a girl who's acting up in a restaurant,
so you discriminating against titties, huh?
Or trying to
You got a titty preference, huh? Titties is titties. All
you see them people. Not like people who trying to go viral and a bitch will show her titties in the restaurant. Like,
that's retarded. That's just retarded.
But that happens way more often. It's not as bad if a nigga pulled his dick and balls out.
Oh, yeah, he going to jail.
Like, that's instant.
Somebody
like,
beating your ass.
A female, she might get banned from the store. Maybe, ma'am, you got to leave.
Right.
You feel me?
Somebody's going to be like,
"There's children here." And fucking whip my meat out, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting
you're going to jail.
I'm getting shot damn near. Like, this is crazy. But, hey, it's a double standard.
Yeah, you might get shot.
Yeah, exactly.
A white man will go to jail.
Yeah, a white man going to go to jail, yeah, for sure. But no, that's real, though. So, yeah, Euphoria has been just having social media in a fucking chokehold every weekend.
Man. But power though?
Power been going crazy. I heard Tommy got a new book or they got a new chapter with Tommy coming out. So
his shit cool.
I haven't really been on it, so it's cool.
Okay. It's just Tommy.
It is Tommy.
Tommy is not a good main character to me.
Word?
Like, I'm watching it. I really watch movies and shows. So nigga, this is a subject I can really get into and I got an opinion. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Nigga, my opinion and this shit matters. But nigga, I just don't think he's a good main character. Like, the females they got around him might pick it up, but as far as him, I might not stick with it.
I feel it.
But it also could be versus Tyreek.
You're so used to seeing him as being the number two role, though. So now he's in his number one role.
Hellish. Like I said, I watch TV. I see him in hellish shit. Yeah. He's never played a main role. And if it is, it's a B movie. I'm not knocking him in his acting chops. He's getting his bread and all that.
Facts, but that's
just
a reality.
My opinion. I feel like I gotta say that because the people on the internet be like, "Oh, you hating on?" No, I'm
man,
not.
Don't
I'm just
worry,
straight
man.
My
we
opinion.
Ain't, we ain't worried
like,
about the haters, man. Haters gonna hate.
I kind of understand what you're saying though, because as I'm watching it, I like the show. But if to think of it in that perspective, I guess when they introduce, like, I don't know their names yet, but you know, like the dude from the barbershop and his brother, like when they brought them into the show, it made it better. But also, I think you pay a lot of attention to them too. Like,
so,
not like Ghosts, where
it was
like
more.
You paid attention
the main
to Ghost.
Characters
like you
were the focus,
Ghost.
Or are you saying like the kind of the supporting cast is the strength
of that show? The supporting cast is strengthening
it. Because
it's a good show. Mm-hmm. But I think, the supporting characters are.
That's real.
My real problem now that I'm thinking about it is his lines in the show. You know how in Power he had like quick, witty. Shit to say, and he's always putting niggas up on game, and you know he knew the game. That's the only time he ever talked. He can talk about the game. That's how it is in the show. He don't. If somebody having a conversation with this nigga, he got one liners and shit. He got quick ass fucking.
He like the funny guy now.
Yeah, well, not like the funny guy. Like, he got that sidekick. Like somebody's writing a script, like he's still a sidekick. Instead
I was just
of writing
gonna
like
say, you want
role.
Him to talk more.
I want him to talk more.
His dialogue.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah,
you want more dialogue.
Yeah, like Jeb. Like nigga, it's basic.
Make him
it's
seem like
right,
the main character.
You are the main character.
Like,
the
nigga.
Yeah.
Like if you come into the city to be the nigga, why is you? So what'd he say? Something. I was just watching an episode. It's like if you don't do something, we gonna kill you. He's like, don't make promises you can't keep.
Yeah.
Like nigga. You didn't even have to say nothing right there. Yeah. Like, come on, bro. Like,
they kind of cheesing him up a little
bit.
Yeah,
like,
you.
Bro. Like, and then he had a scene with the dude, like she was saying from the barbershop, he a brother. Mm-hmm. He was driving, And the police pulled him over and started tripping on him. Mm-hmm. But Tommy's right. in there doing his business. He came out and was like, oh, what's the problem? And you feel me? And then he was like, he wasn't even like, it wasn't no real dialogue there. He really could have got at bro, because bro, yeah. whole attitude, demeanor, he drew down on his nigga and everything. Yeah. His whole demeanor changed when Tommy walked out. He could have played that to his advantage. You've been growing up around black people. You in the game.
Right.
Nigga, I would have went off on that cop. You feel okay. me? He was just like, yeah, bro. Da-da-da. But I did it. Have somewhere to go.
I see it. Hopefully, like, based off what you said, and I haven't really seen it, but hopefully they do a better job of, like, developing his character into a main character or more of that alpha presence. More of a boss. Yeah.
Maybe at the end of the more
at the season. Yeah, it's got enough
and
to
maybe,
it.
And maybe that's what it is. They just trying to, like, start it kind of and build it up so he so don't, like, so. Find his way through.
Yeah, okay. that, and then maybe you don't get lost and, like, this ain't Tommy. This ain't the time. You know because
they brought the character, they brought the bitch back from the show
first,
it goes.
Yeah, I don't know who she is though.
I remember her. Ghost paid her off to leave and all that shit.
Is the one that was gonna kill
Lala?
The person that's gonna kill in the first episode.
I think so.
And then he gave her the money.
I can't remember exactly. I remember her face though. When she came on screen, I was like, I remember her.
I don't remember her.
Okay.
But they're trying to still keep that like Tommy, like it's still Tommy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
keep that same yeah, universe. Keep it all integrated.
So maybe they didn't want to just like dive right into hella dialogue because people probably would be like, "What the?
That's
fuck?
What I'm
this
saying.
Ain't
That's
Tommy.
What I said. Yeah, this ain't Tommy.
You know, they
niggas,
probably
want to
grow.
Hopefully we'll trust the producers and see what the director got.
I trust them. So, yeah. 50 Cent did his thing with the.
It's enough there. It's enough there. Oh yeah,
it's so many other stories to be told and the characters they introduced. They at least got 3 seasons out this year.
Okay,
just based on the characters they got right now and Tommy. And whatever he doing in Chicago.
Yeah.
But as far as it's like that whole universe, the BMF, the Kane, the Kanan, I like that one. Mm-hmm. The fucking, the one with Tyreek, nigga, I think that's better than the original.
That was
Ghost.
Cool. I heard that one's cool, so. Okay.
That one's, nigga, you got a podcast, you don't watch this shit?
I be watching Abbott Elementary and Lego Masters. Woo, like,
nigga,
I watch
Abbott.
Abbott,
yes.
Crazy. Abbott Elementary,
right
that's been my shit.
I used to want to be a teacher, so when I first seen that show, I was like,
that shit is hilarious.
This shit is hella funny.
The principal, she's the funniest
motherfucker. She annoying me,
but she hella funny.
She's hella funny.
She got a special.
Somebody just told. I gotta go watch it on Netflix.
It's called what's that shit called?
Stand I honestly don't even remember.
I don't know.
Now.
I got Nisi just told me about it. I gotta go peep game more.
Yeah,
that
she
shit
is. She's hella funny.
Awesome. But yes, keeping it moving. From current events, talk a little bit of sports talk. All-Star Weekend is around the corner. We'll start off with some NBA. We had that big trade that happened with James Harden and Ben Simmons. Easy. I don't know if you're a big hoop fan. Do you have a favorite team?
Look, so I stopped watching sports in like 2016, but I grew up playing every sport. Wow. I have 4 brothers, no sisters. I watch sports my whole life. Mm. But currently, I don't really watch sports like that. I started watching football because of him.
Okay.
I started watching more football because of him. But he a Raiders fan, and I grew up a Cowboys fan, so that was interesting.
Yeah, that don't never mix.
It was interesting.
She grew up a loser.
But I don't, I got mixed feelings about the Cowboys now. So it's I was rooting for them for him because it's like, if he has a bad day, I got a bad day.
You got a hoop squad, hoop team, nobody?
So I'm a Sixers fan.
Nice. So, okay. So see, perfect. We talk about this trade.
She don't know nothing about this trade.
Okay.
Nigga.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm saying. But I haven't been caught up. I don't watch fucking ESPN no more, which is usually how you learn everything.
Let me ask you this thing. Okay, so do you know Joel Embiid? Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Okay. You know who James Harden is?
Yes.
Okay, so now you got both of them on your team as a Sixer fan. How do y'all think y'all gonna do? I'm gonna just say Joel Embiid is playing
very
good.
I don't know the rest of the team, but shit.
She like, shit, we'll take it. She like, we gonna do something.
Sounds good, shit.
Right, sound good. It's all good.
If we talking about it, it must mean something.
Yeah, it's definitely a major move. Yeah, definitely a major move for sure.
I just know when I was watching sports, my team wasn't doing that great.
Right, yeah. So. Yeah. Philly, y'all good though. Y'all got cool squad. Y'all got cool squad. So, but since y'all know more football, let's talk about football real quick. Tom Brady just retired. What
finally.
The fuck? Like,
it was a fumble, nigga.
Finally.
End of an era.
It was a fumble, nigga.
It was the end of an era.
As a Raider fan, that's all I got
to
say about that.
2003?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
He's bitter. Yeah. Bitter. Oh, my God. He went back to the tuck rule. I'm dead. Right.
It was a fumble, nigga.
It was a fumble.
What? Fumble, nigga.
That was a motherfucking fumble.
If I ever meet Tom Brady, that's the only thing I want to say to nigga. I don't give a fuck if I'm famous or not, nigga. It's a fumble.
Let me get a picture, nigga. That was a fumble.
Nah, fuck the picture, nigga. I might just record a video. It was a fumble, nigga.
But man, that was definitely end of an era.
Hey, you laughing, but that was a 30-for-30, man. That's a highly debated motherfucking play. The most debated play in NFL history, nigga. It changed the course of two franchises in a whole fucking conference, nigga. I don't give a fuck what you say, nigga. I can take it back to 2003. Nigga.
Look at that. I'm about to say he's bitter on that one. He, nigga. Let me stop. Nigga. Let me stop talking about Brady.
You know what's cold? You know what's cold about that? Stop
talking about Brady, first man, pop a blood.
No,
messer.
No. You know what's cold about that? I was never. I grew up around women, and my great granny raised me, so I was never into sports. So when I moved to Louisiana, my best friend dad was like, we was hella cool, and his dad was like hella nice to me and shit. So I think they when I first started watching football, they was all Raider fans because they was from LA.
Yeah,
and I was from the Bay, and they was from Oakland at the time. So I was like, nigga, I don't know nothing else.
You're right, so that's my squad. Was
Niners fans, but it didn't register to me because I didn't have no bond with nobody watching sports. Yeah. But them and the people I grew, you know, sports is like you develop teams and relationships on sports based on the bond you have with people.
Yeah, so a lot of people get at me. I'm a Bay Area raised Knicks and Charger fan. Like, but I get all the flack in the world.
Yeah, niggas be confused. People be like, what is wrong with you? Exactly. Are you adopted?
Yeah, for real. They hit you with anything.
Right. His mom. Him and his mom be cracking me up because he a Raiders fan and she a Niners fan.
Yeah, we blood.
That's my best friend. We blood. Beefing. Like, as soon as the season starts, preseason, nigga, we on the phone talking shit. Like, that's nigga, y'all hilarious. Weak. Y'all hella weak.
Yeah.
She calling every day until they lost.
Literally. She called me.
She didn't call that day. He had to call her.
Right. I called her the last minute. Like, nigga, what's going on?
Gotta go.
She was quiet as shit.
I think when Brett threw that pick, I called her. I was like, what happened? Yeah. It was over. That was your only chance, nigga. It's over. I was like, you gonna watch these kneel downs with me, motherfucker.
Y'all hella
she
funny.
Was hella
and I ain't never heard her quiet. She was quiet. Like, when he first called, like, I ain't never heard her quiet.
Yeah, all hush my life.
She was just kind of, you know, not saying nothing. Then he started talking mama. Shit. But yeah, that was hilarious.
She called me as soon as the Raiders lost to the Bengals.
People don't play about their squads, man. Especially if you're being from the Bay Area, like, the Bay fucks with the Bay just heavily with a lot of part of our culture. Our teams, like, that's why I feel like if I lived in Tennessee and was a Falcons fan, like, that's one thing. But if you're from the Bay and you don't have a Bay Area team, you're a Warriors fucking alien.
Oh, you said a Knicks fan. I'm not a Warriors fan.
Everybody looks at me like an alien. They be like, you really from Vallejo? They be like, you sure?
What? You don't fuck with the Warriors?
I do. Like, of course,
nigga,
I want them to succeed.
I worked
but
the parade. I was the security at the second parade.
Like,
nigga,
I'm motherfuckers to win. Nigga. Like, of course, I'm Bay Area before a lot of shit, but it's just certain things. Like, me personally, I cannot. I would root for the Raiders over the Niners. That's me. Even in a just for certain reasons. For one, the only time the Chargers ever been to a Super Bowl, fucking got demolished by Joe Montana and everybody. That fucking Niners put up big numbers in '95. Yeah, I was born. It was horrible. Beef. Yeah, I got personal beef with the Niners. Yeah, that's just personal.
I got personal beef with the Niners too.
Yeah. So, but that's just what it is. But yes, who y'all got in the big game today? Super Bowl Sunday. We got L.A. Rams, Cincinnati Bengals. We got Joe Shiesty, Joe Burrow taking on Matthew Stafford.
Hey, my
13-year
nigga Joe
vet.
Burrow is living a Madden. My nigga's living a Madden creative player. Dream right there. Yeah. Nigga's real life. Nigga, that's some shit you do on Madden.
Second year coming off a catastrophic leg injury.
Right, and you going to the Super Bowl?
First year starting. Your coach is damn near on the hot seat.
Right, about to get fired. It's gonna be a whole overhaul because you got injured and
you got all the house money, you got all the young talent, you got Jamar Chase, rookie of the year,
right? Your number one receiver from when you won a chip,
you got Joe Mixon in the backfield. All of their main pieces on offense are like 25 years and younger. Then on the other side of the ball, you got the Rams.
Joe Mixon is a boy.
Yeah, I want to say he's from the Bay, too.
He's from the Bay.
Yeah,
because he be doing the big step and shit. Yeah. He went to one of
Marshawn Lynch's little camps.
When he did that shit
shout
on
out
us,
Joe Mixon.
I was mad.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I love it.
You ain't supposed to be doing us like that.
Yeah.
But then shit is what it is. That bad.
The other side, you got the L.A. Rams. They got Odell over there. They got Stafford. Yes, you got L.A.
You think the Rams will take it?
I think they're going to take it because it's like, it's too many niggas on that team.
It's a lot of fucking talent.
Too many niggas.
You got Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald.
It's too many hungry niggas. It's like, you look at the Bengals, you like, you niggas gonna be here for a while.
You think that's the feeling.
Just because you made it here right now, your franchise is gonna, these niggas haven't been to nothing like this in 33 years. If y'all get blown the fuck out, your franchise is gonna break you niggas off.
Yeah.
They gonna give your coach one more year.
He already didn't change the culture already. Yeah. He already didn't change the culture.
Niggas are winners. The Bengals, whenever you ever mention the Bengals, I'm like, yeah, they going to the chip this year.
Yeah, not in a while. Not since Carson and Ocho Cinco. Now it's not even that much noise.
That might be enough to make them really want to win, though. Because we all know sometimes it's not just your skill set, though. It's like people choke and shit. You see the Cowboys choke
every
fucking year.
We're talking like this as fans. We're talking like this as fans. Of course, they going to want to win it because you might not be back. Think about it. That OKC team back in the day when they played the Heat. We thought they were going to be back in the finals. They we never seen that team ever return. So well, same thing for them. People they, think just because y'all young, think just because they young, shit, that's a dysfunctional franchise too. Just because they young and got talent, don't mean that they gonna all stay, and don't mean they gonna
young
all
minds are
bring
easier
it back.
To break.
That's it's not that easy. There's a lot of teams you gonna be like, oh, they gonna be back. They gonna be
just
back.
The just the fact that they held their own against Kansas City.
Twice.
Nigga, like, twice. Nigga, you gotta have a mindset to go against a great nigga. Like, to beat a great nigga, you gotta realize Eli Manning.
You gotta be great.
You just had to have that mindset, like, nigga, I'm gonna be right. Everything I'm gonna do is right. I'm not gonna fuck up today, because at the end of the day, that's all you gotta do. Yeah. When you face a certain nigga, like, that's all. That shit with, like, Tom Brady losing them two Super Bowls, nigga, was a fluke. Nigga, it was mental.
But him winning one or two of them was awesome. Could have been a fluke. But that's debatable.
Don't get me started.
That's debatable.
I can name him.
But in general, Joe Burrow definitely is going to have a lot more opportunities to go back.
Matthew
but he also got a tougher road, because the AFC is just harder. A lot more better quarterbacks. You got Lamar Jackson. You got Patrick Mahomes. Right. Josh Allen. Right. Shit, Justin Herbert for the Chargers. You got shit.
A
lot of motherfuckers.
Boy.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah, you got a lot of motherfuckers in over there. So, but. LA, who you got, Z? You going LA?
I want the Bengals to win for my pops. Shout out Pops. Because he liked the Cowboys too, but that was always his other team. That's the Cowboys and the Bengals were playing the day I was born. So
what?
Like,
okay.
Yeah, so I want them to win just for him. But also, you know, I feel kind of bad because that's the team that took his team out.
Makes sense.
But for Pops, I do want
because I can be like, well, at least we lost to
the Super Bowl
champions.
Yeah.
The fucking Cowboys lost to the Niners. So
So we ain't gonna talk about them this year. But I hope they win for Pops, because he ain't seen the Bengals make it to the fucking Super Bowl. And I don't know how many years you said
they made it. They
already overachieved.
Yeah, their management would be stupid to not get them niggas locked in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dropping bags on everybody that has something to do with anything.
They got a good core that they definitely need to secure
for the
future.
They need to grab them niggas up. Niggas is going.
Before we get into the two entities that y'all are as the great up and coming, beautiful, entertaining entertainers that y'all are, let me get y'all NBA finals pick, since we're All Star Weekend. Y'all got Warriors going all the way. Y'all got the Suns
in the
West.
All the way.
I'm leaning towards Phoenix, but I'll give you that one.
All the way. You should have seen Klay. He just dropped 33.
Dropped some numbers. He just dropped some numbers.
Drake coming back.
My brother
after
would kill me,
break.
But I would say the Suns, because I've just been a personal fan of the Suns, like since I was a kid. That I mean, I'm a Sixers fan, but I used to cheer and dance, and we got to meet the Kings and the Suns, and just personally, it don't have nothing to do with basketball.
Right.
They touched me in a way. Okay, that sounded bad. They didn't touch me. All right. They emotionally touched me.
I want them to have the win.
They inspired you. Yes.
I want them to have a win. That's all. They was a dope ass team. The people, they was respectful to us and all that shit. The Kings players, I ain't gonna lie, because I live in Sacramento. Mm. I'm not from Sacramento, but I live in Sacramento. I've lived there for many years now. But yeah, the Kings players, they was assholes, and we were in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So that shit was kind of. Like, they were the ones that invited us to even perform, and that shit kind of fucked me up. But yeah, so I would want them to win, but my brother would kill me. He's like a diehard Warriors fan. Yeah. Like,
okay.
You worry about the wrong person.
Okay, let me ask you about the Eastern Conference then. Who y'all think gonna come out the Eastern? We got Miami. They looking pretty good. The Heat, Milwaukee Bucks still there. You know, with Giannis. We got Chicago. DeMar DeRozan been doing some shit.
I hope for Chicago, because I fuck with Chicago.
And then Brooklyn is still up there. You still got Brooklyn Nets with KD, and now Ben Simmons. He's going to wear number 10, so that's kind of cool.
What the fuck is Ben Simmons going to do?
Hey, I mean, shit, that's a body.
I don't even know basketball, and I know this nigga shouldn't be on nobody's.
Great defender. Only thing he can't do is shoot. Everything else he can do. That's all you need to know. He just can't shoot, which in basketball you kind of need to know how to do, because that's a point of scoring.
I was about to say, that's like saying a nigga good at baseball, but he can't hit home runs.
He might could pitch his ass off, or he might be a good first baseman. Bro can defend, and he got very elite talent, but.
Right, that's not going to get the points on the board so we can get where we need to go.
That's what they got KD for.
I mean,
they
could shoot, for that. But I'm not, like, I'm not good at defense. Yeah. I could shoot, but I'm not a great basketball player.
Put me on the court, nigga, because I can do everything that nigga can do and not shoot. Why? I ain't got an NBA contract. I'm 6'4". You feel me? I can put on an extra 5 pounds.
Very like, true. If no one's around me, I'll make every shot.
I mean,
I'm really good at shooting, but shit, my short ass will get bapped all day.
It's all good. It's all good. All right. Let's get into the real reason we have y'all here on the podcast today, because we got to talk about when Lance became Lancey Beau, and why ZZ is called ZZ, because y'all out here putting in work. I've been seeing y'all. I see with the merch on the Something Funny. Did y'all want to let's start off talking about that? Funny. Yeah, Z, come on. Let the people know what this Something Funny is about to show them.
Well, you know what's really interesting is I'm a music journalist, so I come from the music industry. That's actually how I know LaRussell, how I know this fool, like this. And I met him at, I was doing one of my dance classes because I dance as well. And that's when we like first met, but because I was doing one of LaRussell's songs and LaRussell came through and filmed it and all
hell
that
yeah,
stuff.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
But what really happened was he was doing his first show and in LaRussell's backyard.
Yep, yeah.
And he just kind of knew, he knew of me, like what I do. And I used to manage some artists and stuff like that. And he was walking around that whole day telling people I was his manager.
Ah, it was
his first comedy
smooth.
Show. His first comedy show. And he was just walking around telling people that. Like, I think it was it Brie that said that? She was like, yeah, he told me you was his manager before he even told me. So he was informing people that I was his manager before I knew I was his manager. So anyways, but I asked him that day, I said, you know, are you serious though? Like, if you're serious, I don't know nothing about the comedy world.
Right.
But I didn't know nothing about the music industry until I was in it. I was like, shit, just as long as you know, I don't know shit. We gonna learn this shit together. But I got my other skill sets, you know, networking and stuff like that. And
for sure.
She might not know
comedy, but she know everybody in Sacramento.
I say, what skills can be applied there. Yeah.
Right. And so that's how I got into like the comedy world with him. And then as I was just there was a couple times I was just like, oh, so like comedy is like music. People just go up there and vent. So I got up a couple times for, you know, just to vent or whatever. But then I got the idea. I started sitting there thinking like, this is hella crazy because there is no platform out here for comedians. Like we have for music. I mean, there's barely even in Northern California, you know, platforms. Why LaRussell started what he did, and you know, and I was just sitting there like literally nothing. There's no Laugh Factory out here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's comedy clubs, but there is no platform. Yeah. So I was like, look, we need to just start this platform because I'm noticing more comedians, like. I respect the game though, right? Once you get into it, you got to learn the language, you got to learn everything about it. And that's what I started to do. And one thing I do understand though is that most comedians, like back in the day, they didn't like to be recorded. Most comedy shows you go to, you can't even record.
Put your phones up. Even to this day,
you can't record in a comedy show. So when we would go to comedy shows to like film his set, I would always just ask the comedians, like, you want me to, I'm not going to record nobody without their permission, period.
Right.
But I started noticing, like, with the way times are now, with social media and shit like that, I think even comedians, even the older comedians, they're like, shit, we need these little 30-second clips, these little, just to bring people to their page or, you know what I mean, bring them to their YouTube just so they can see what they do.
Hell yeah.
So that's why I was just like, yeah, we need to create this platform. And so that's really how that started. Something and then I couldn't think of a name. And then I was just like, it's got to be Something Funny.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh shit, that's it.
That's it. That's super dope. Super glad to hear it. And I feel like you guys are doing it the right way. Y'all have a lot of good influences around y'all with good company and stuff like that, because with a person you could learn from, also building the platform in a different space, which is not very known or exposed to, but a lot of people who we grow up are class clowns, are comedians just naturally. Like, you've been a funny guy. Right. I've been a funny guy. Like, we know. Right. I can name 8 motherfuckers I went to school with who you'd be like, hilarious.
He's like annoyingly funny. Yeah, I'm like bruh, and who you never know.
But now, who you never know with a platform, you can have them take that serious and craft that into an actual profession and a career. So I just
think funny you say that, because a lot of people have been, it's hella funny. Because a lot of people have been hitting me, like, I went to school with, like, oh, I've been wanting to get into comedy. How'd you get into comedy? And I'm like, I just got into
it.
I tried the social media shit and the different apps and shit, and it's just, like, it didn't hit. And it wasn't, like, it wasn't for me. And it was,
it's
like,
a resource. Yeah. It's a resource.
It's an ally. But I've watched comedy from like nigga from a little nigga. Like
we been
like,
watching comedy.
You feel me? Like comedy though. Man. Like stand-ups and Wildin' Out and the Chappelle mm-hmm. Show and In Living Color and Saturday from Night Live.
Exactly. Skit shows to stand up.
Yeah, everything. Comic South View. Park, yeah. Comic View, nigga. When I seen JJ on Comic
JJ
View.
JJ on
nigga,
Comic View. I remember watching like, my mom's. What?
But I was like, bro, what? This nigga's on Comic View?
A youngin' showing you exactly right. A black and youngin' doing it, killing it.
And then killing it.
Getting his
like,
own show, doing all of that.
Bruh, everything, bro. I was like, what the fuck? And then like niggas like people don't understand how influential Nick Cannon like is as a comedian. Like
for
that
real.
Nigga is really a comedian
for real.
Like, he do so much shit and he's a hilarious. Mogul now, but he started off as a fucking comedian
for real.
You
for
feel real. me? And he looks out for comedians. Like that's why I fuck with Lou in his room in Oakland, because everybody think he started on social media.
Right.
Lou was in the trenches. Yeah. Right after high school, doing
putting
stand-up.
In that work. Yeah.
You feel me? When I met him, he was like, yeah, bro, I got my social media shit hit. I was never into it to be a social media comedian.
Yeah.
That shit just took off.
Yeah.
Because I'm
that
funny.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, okay, I get what you're saying, because you are funny, and I did start following you from when you
from
was making...
From the socials,
yeah. From
Sonny Bo and all that, Bo, yeah.
All that shit. But he was like, nah, nigga, because I told him I was doing my comedy shit in SAC. It's a place called Touch of Class. It's been around for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a NorCal black comedy staple. But NorCal comedy is not like Atlanta comedy or Texas comedy or Midwest or New York comedy, where these black clubs don't have the repertoire that they have. But niggas have come. Kraven Hart has been through there.
Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish has been through there.
Nice.
Nigga,
nice.
It's niggas that.
And
leave.
It's just some funny ass
it's some funny
that
motherfuckers
are
that you
like...
wouldn't know because they're not on social media.
Right.
So when she hit me with that idea, and that was my, like, I was complaining about it.
Yeah.
You feel what I mean? She came up with a solution for
yeah.
it. You feel
yeah.
me? And that's why I was like, nigga, you're my matter. You, like,
yeah.
you said, you're my number two in this shit.
You already know what to do. You already know.
Nigga, it's been years I've been wanting to do comedy, and I didn't know nothing about the sack. I lived
where
in
to
sack.
Start or just where to go,
yeah.
where to look. Yeah.
I lived in sack since 11th grade year. You mm-hmm. know, last time we was all kicking it and shit.
Facts.
And I moved to sack. And I've been wanting to do comedy ever since then.
Yeah.
And I try to do it on social media, and I've
right.
never been a social media type
right.
of nigga. I've never been like a fit in type of nigga. So
yeah.
my social media presence never clicks because I was never
that
was
always, your personality
yeah,
yeah
that wasn't me. I was eyeball like I'm a
yeah.
I'm funny but like I'm like all right
I'm
nigga.
Funny with my homies
yeah I'm
exactly.
funny and then I'm like I'm funny all the time nigga don't get it twisted nah,
like nigga, I'm always funny
right but it gets to a point where when people don't know you they don't care to listen
exactly
and that's what social media is you gotta
right.
get people to know you to listen
facts.
But if you funny, you funny. And that's why when she came with the platform I was 100% behind it because I was like I know you being a person you know, knowing a hell of people and posting it, and your social media game is so strong, and you being a, like she said, a hip-hop journalist with a prominent company in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Rap Shack. It was easy. It was just like, we got the funny niggas, you got the people, we just need them to embrace us when we
and
making
that,
they shit,
make that
and then we can build together.
Yes, sir.
You feel me? Like, I'm not tripping out this shit starting off slow. I'm kind of glad it's starting off slow. I didn't want it to blow up.
No, yeah, you got to take your time.
Yeah, I didn't want it to blow up
grow,
too crazy where people
progress.
Expected more out of us than what we could produce at the moment.
Right, for real.
So all I'm asking for now is people to just, if you see my shit, anybody's shit on our page, anybody, my shit, the other comedians that open up for me, the big names in NorCal comedy that you might not know if you don't go to shows, just share their shit so other people can know them. So when they
yeah.
share a flyer or follow all that shit because we tag them in it. You know, like good company, we let you know
yeah.
who's in who's,
most definitely
who's
most definitely.
In this clip and who's doing their shit. We
give
got
people
more.
Their credit.
But
give people
the
their credit.
Comedians, I feel like I think people don't understand. I never understood until I got into the game. They're like comedians, like it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Like with artists, with music artists, you hear about 10,000 hours in the studio.
Right.
Like comedians, 10,000 hours is open mics. It's in
legit.
Front of live ass audience. Like
legit.
y'all, I have so much respect for comedians.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And y'all just think like, haha, they just joking all day. Like
nah.
y'all don't understand. Like, and though when you bomb,
mm-hmm.
it's, ooh. Bruh, I've seen, it's funny because I took him to New York and he did like, that's kind of crazy because I think you did like your first open mics in New York, huh?
Yeah, that's what I really started
because you did
shit.
His first show mm-hmm. with LaRussell, but then we
like
went
a
to
week
like,
after that,
we
went
to
New
York.
York.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was just like, I went out there for music shit. And then
mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck it, just come out here. I looked up some random open mics and turned out to be a dope ass open mic.
Nice, nice.
What,
the Tiny Cupboard?
The tiny cupboard. Yes, it's in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, and actually, like, they've had people like SNL writers come through there, shit like
Hell
that.
Hell yeah!
When we were there, it just so happened. I can't remember his last name, but he's on this show. What's the show called? Flatbush Misdemeanors.
It's okay. on Showtime.
And he's hella funny. And he went up there and he was talking. And you know, I introduced myself, did my manager shit, told him about Lance, and asked him because he was weird. He's so new. I'm so new in the game. Right. I'm like, what advice do you have for him? Like anything you could tell us. We don't need anything. And he was just telling him, like, you know, keep going. Because he's told me he bombed for years straight. Like years.
I believe it.
Can you imagine artists, right? There are a lot of artists, right, that they make music, they put them out. Mm. And after, you know, after a few months, they be like, if this shit ain't hitting, they ready to give up. Like, nobody's listening, so why the fuck am I? Right. Like, this man said he was going to open mics and bombing for years. Like, 5 years before he fucking really, like, got on that show and blew up and shit.
That shit is
like,
real.
Like, can you? That's crazy. But it's also, like, that's their 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
So that's why
shooting in the gym.
But you got to think, like, that's hella crazy because when artists, when they essentially, you know, quote unquote bomb, it's nobody's listening.
Right.
So when you, but as a comedian, you might bomb in a room full of fucking people.
That shit is embarrassing publicly.
You might bomb in a room full of fucking people.
That shit is embarrassing. Like, and of course, just seeing that you hear about it. But of course, you know, the bigger comedians, you only see the specials and the good stuff they did, right, and the good work they did. But exactly, they don't bring out.
I promise you, they had bomb.
Oh, like, exactly. Like that. That's the struggles of a comedian.
I promise you, Kevin Hart bombed before.
Exactly.
I promise you.
It's a public embarrassment. Public kind of just.
I don't know about
backlash.
That motherfucker hilarious.
I mean, he's been doing that shit since he was 15. So
yeah. Some people do hit the ground running, but then again, some people, you feel me, gotta work. And speak on that too. The preparation behind it. Now being adjusting from just being a naturally funny nigga who's, you know, making the homies laugh, to now you gotta walk into a room full of strangers that you have no relation to. None of them probably grew up from your same city. Exactly. Being in New York, half
New
these
York
motheruckers don't have the same skin color, can't relate to half the stuff. So how is that preparation, walking to a room of strangers and
that
having to make them laugh?
That shit, when I went to New York, I didn't know what the fuck I was getting into. I was like, I came off the backyard hot, nigga. I was my first time. Everybody right. was
he
fucking
said,
with
I came
me.
Out the backyard
yeah.
hot.
Nigga, it was hilarious.
I was on fire, nigga. I felt like nigga, on top
shit.
Of the world. Nigga, nigga, you couldn't tell me I wasn't a comedian after that day. Like you said, the homies.
Exactly.
It's just more formal because it's like recorded in the mics and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, I get to New York. We do a workshop the first time. You feel me? We in the workshop. It's me and like six other white motherfuckers. Like you said, I'm the only nigga in there. So I'm like, as soon as I walk in the room, I'm like, I know before I got here, y'all had some black jokes. So don't get rid of them black
trying
jokes.
To lighten the mood.
I'm trying to lighten the mood.
Facts.
That turned everybody off. Didn't even realize it. Them niggas is like, oh, this nigga thinks he's the shit.
Right. And we not from New York, too,
so
on top of that.
York, so
right.
I don't know how
it's
they
a different
rock.
Type
I'm
of
trying
humor.
To bring my,
yeah.
my
our player. Yeah, a little player vibe and shit. They like,
North
nah,
they wasn't feeling
that. Yeah, they was not feeling that shit, bro.
Shit.
These niggas
I don't know if they were scared or what.
I don't know.
So it might have been a combination.
Just a different flavor.
So they was like, oh, whoop-de-woo-woo. They get up there, tell their white jokes. They out of avocado toast and my mom's paying for my therapy, even though I went to school to have a PhD. Nigga, I can't relate to nothing. My shit is simple. Nigga, I'm talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about your weird ass mayor. I'm talking about your weird ass governor. Nigga, I'm talking about
About weed and white women with fat asses.
Right.
Like, what the
fuck? Talking about bullshit. These niggas talking about
you didn't know it was going to be that much of a culture shock because we were in Brooklyn still.
Yeah, we was in Brooklyn.
So we were kind of shocked at the. We were like,
there's a bodega down the street. There's niggas hanging out. Like, this is the. Nigga, I didn't know we was going to get gang raped, robbed, or nothing walking up these rickety ass stairs going to this building.
New York was stupid.
And it was just these white people in a room from all over the place just talking about white situations.
Right.
And I was like.
It was interesting. I didn't expect it either. But I told him, I was like, you needed that.
For real?
You needed that.
Yeah, I did.
To have that.
And
like,
that's when I learned the essence of reading a room.
You have to know your audience.
You feel
read the room.
I came there thinking what I had to say was important, and it wasn't. Sitting in
not
that
to
room.
Them.
Yeah, not to them.
Right.
Hey, fuck.
And that's a thing you have to do in preparing, being able to adjust, having a, maybe a plan B or a backup plan when you feel like, oh, I got these three jokes lined up and it's going to kill them. And the person before you maybe even touches on those subjects and you see it's not the right thing or
said
it's reading that room.
That
so
happens
that's
too.
A great
so
thing
shit,
for
that
me.
Shit is
that's
real.
Why I don't that's why going to these open mics and doing these shows, doing the showcases, I don't like because I'm the first, because I'm new.
Yeah.
But I'm funny, so a lot of niggas fuck with me, but they like, nigga, you new, and this is not an open mic, so I'm going to put you up first, because right. niggas that's been dead, and I respect yeah, that.
You know, got to get you the people
feel me?
There.
I got to earn mine.
I'm not, keep, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not tripping off that. I let these niggas know what I'm about. So I'll go first, and then, like, I wouldn't know what the room is like. You got to set the tone.
Yeah, you the tone setter
for
sure.
You the tone setter when you go up there. So you just got to, like, it get to the, like, it used to make me nervous. Now I get to the point where, well, this is the part where I can talk about anything I want.
Yeah.
Right. And if take it don't, control.
Yeah. 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 And if it don't hit, I can just go on to something else.
For sure.
You
for
feel
sure.
me? It's easier at to first, kind of that move shit on. Used to. At first, that shit used to bother me, bro. Yeah. Like when I used to go up and like I tell my first joke and that shit don't like it don't pick up like I wanted to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, fuck. Now I gotta like I'm razzled, so I'm like start rambling. I'm like, oh fuck, I ain't got that much time, so I gotta like keep going and then I tell my joke and then if I don't if they not feeling it, then I'm starting not to feel my. That's yeah. where like when you knew that shit fuck with you. Because you gotta you if they not feeling it, you not feeling it.
Yeah, you gotta be mentally there.
And that's
sure.
the difference between music and comedy. It's music, if they not feeling it, it's your shit. You mm-hmm. wrote it really for you. If they fuck with it, they fuck with it. But you doing comedy to not impress other people,
but to make them laugh. But
make an impression on other people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you feel like you're not making an impression, you fucked up. Even if it's like three niggas laughing. If it's six niggas in the front and ain't nobody laughing, either why the fuck is y'all in the front or what am I doing wrong that's not catching
facts.
Your interest?
Facts. Nah, you that's real.
So it was like that. When I went to New York, it took me we was there for like a week and a half. It took me about like 7 fucking tries.
Yeah.
So I got it to where I was like, I got up there and didn't give a fuck and I could just say what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. So like the last couple days there, I think I was killing it.
But I think that's where you got to treat it like music though. Like that you're saying, do it too. For yourself. Like when I go up there, he swears I'm just funnier than him. But I just go up there and tell these fucking stories about my kids and shit. Yeah. Just be real ass stories. Well, you just don't get in your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just got to get out your head.
That confidence plays a major role. When
but
you...
he's so, but he, that's what, I think that's a misconception people have about comedians, right? He takes this shit real serious. Like, yeah. this is not a game to him. He's yeah. very serious about this shit. So he be getting in his head about it. And I right. be telling him, like, you don't get out of your head. Like, treat it like people treat their
yes.
music. This is for you. This is your story.
Yeah, sometimes what you put telling, down pressure on yourself.
That's, yeah, yeah, that's your story. Fuck if they don't feel it.
Right.
That's your shit.
This shit happened
you know?
To me.
I go up there, yeah. I don't expect them to laugh every time. Sure, y'all might not think this shit funny.
Y'all can relate though. Y'all gonna right. feel it at the end right. of the day. So
it's gotten to the point now it's like natural. Like when I go
yeah,
up, it's
definitely
natural.
More natural, yeah.
It's natural.
Yeah.
Like the last show I did, nigga, I was just talking. Like when I was hosting, but I was up there the whole night because I'm hosting, so I can say whatever the fuck I want to. And then if it's not funny, I can get the fuck off.
Right.
So it's like, it's easier in situations like that. Or if you got like more than 5 minutes or you got like some real time, you can keep talking. Because 9 times out of 10, especially when you're starting off and you're not established like a lot of these comedians are, and you start to talking, people not going to listen. You got to like mm-hmm. say some outrageous ass shit.
Yeah.
Get
people
their attention. Like,
got to get that yeah. attention grabber for
that,
sure.
What the fuck is this nigga talking about? So true. Like, I'll just like, I know sometimes I'll start off, I just like she said, she talked about her kids. I talk about my kids because mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time with my kids outside of like being in comedy. I don't really do too much of nothing, but like hang out with my niggas
right.
and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I talk shit about my kids because my kids are interesting. My daughter's like 4, and if you ever had a conversation with this nigga, you'd be like, where did
Bruh.
You come from? Like, what planet? Nigga, you're not from this planet, bro.
No,
like, she don't talk like
she
4. No.
She don't think like she 4. She don't act like she 4. She don't talk like she's like, nigga.
But exactly.
What the fuck?
That's something to talk about in your comedy.
You
and
feel
stuff.
Me?
Some people
and then
can
my
relate
son
with.
Is like the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. He's like a fucking 12-year-old boy to the T.
Yeah.
To the point where you I see why my parents didn't like me at that age. That's like my nigga,
right.
I get it now. I see why my parents didn't like me at that age. You fucking stupid. You're not stupid. You just
right.
don't
think
know.
You know better.
You're not right. thinking
you,
about all the little shit.
Yeah,
you know what
you,
I'm saying?
You,
like getting
adult,
in the bed with your dirty clothes.
Yeah,
like, come on, bro.
Yeah, as an adult, you know better. But you got to realize that's a 12-year-old boy. We give kids like that more responsibility than they really know how to deal with at first.
For sure.
You feel me? So, like when I be talking to his mom, I be like, you got to calm down. He only 12. She's like, he shouldn't. He's 12. Nigga, he shouldn't know nothing. But what you still teaching him, and as he grow, he gonna know. Now if he just don't get it after a certain age, I get it. But the mm-hmm. nigga's learning. He's getting more responsibility than he's ever had in his life at this point.
Yeah.
When you turn 10, 11, 12, that's when you get to walk home from school. That's when you get to stay home a little bit later. Like if your parents want to go out and they can't find nobody to watch, you get to stay home. You gotta, if you got younger siblings, you gotta do right. for them and shit. Nigga, you just had to be reminded to wipe your ass thoroughly like a year ago.
Right.
Now you gotta do all this shit independently. It's not an easy 2 month process, nigga. This is gonna take some couple years. Like about 15, if you ain't got it, then you might be a little slow. You know, we gonna address that when we get to it. But it's just like life, and I felt like a lot of it's a lot of comedians in the NorCal scene that's hella funny. But if you listen to their shit, all they doing is talking about some real shit. Yeah. Like you got like Rico the Great, you got Regina Givens, you got Jerry Law, you got Jay Rich, you got fucking these are comedians you might not know.
Shay Sugar. She's hella funny.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Shannon Battle is one of the greatest promoters in NorCal comedy.
But that's what we need, though. Since we don't know these names, we need a platform like Something Funny so y'all can expose us to them. Just, so that's what we hear, and well, that's what we about, for sure.
You got to see a lot of them.
Major. Like I said, Shannon Battle is a great producer and a promoter of shows. He got like all the best comedians in NorCal together.
Just did an all-black show. February 9th at the Punchline.
Nice.
That's a big
major bag alert.
And it was all-black comedians.
Well, she shot it because I was in L.A. with Russell and them, but she shot it.
The content about to drop.
We was doing clips before we came here. Nah, it's fucking hilarious.
We here for it. Yeah, I was like I said, I was going to ask about a hardship and a feel good moment, but I feel like you kind of encapsulate both of those. Just y'all talking about traveling, exposing yourselves to different types of audiences, but also finding your groove, finding your niche, getting that level of confidence and comfortability.
I can tell you where it really picked up for me. It was my birthday. And I did Lou shit in Oakland.
Okay.
And it was like the biggest room I've done. And my mom came.
Yeah.
My mom and my cousins and shit. And then I was like, nigga, I killed it.
The fam bam came. He killed it in front of the fam. Man. It's lit.
I killed it. And for Lou, like Lou, even when I got outside, Lou was like, nigga, you only, because he asked me how, because I got there a little early. He was talking. He was like, how long you been doing comedy? He's like, 2 months. And he was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, well, I'm on your head.
All right. He's like, hey, nigga, you're going to be watching. This is a big moment. And I was like, okay. I was a little nervous. Them niggas started throwing me shots and shit because I told them it was my birthday and shit. So they were showing me love and
got
shit.
Got him a little loose?
Yeah, then my mom.
Oh, it definitely got loose that night.
Oh, man, that was a wild night up in there. And then my mom came and I got up. Nigga, I killed that shit. The whole time I was talking shit about my mama.
Man.
Hey, shout out moms.
Shout out moms. She's a trooper, man. She ate that shit. And then, like, they was fucking with her after. And right, she was still, you know, the whole night.
That's all the whole night they was fucking with her.
That's what's up.
That's hella funny.
Set the tone. Really set the tone. Right. He wasn't even the first one, but set the tone.
I was like the third one that night, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think you went before me. That's the first night she went up too.
I went up right before you, yeah.
Nice. She did pretty good too, but then when I got all loose, like, you only been doing this shit for, you look, he's like, you look real comfortable for 2 months.
Yeah, there
and
you
I
go.
I was like, oh, okay.
See, it kind of one of them moments. Yeah, it was like,
oh, okay. I'm coming for you, nigga.
Come on, man. Shit. Well, as we wrap this up, for one, thank y'all again for hopping on. Take some
time to
let the people know what's next. What can we expect either from just Lancey Beau, from ZZ, or from Something Funny, or y'all as a duo? What can we expect? What should the people be on the lookout for?
I mean, me personally, just more content. I've been doing a lot of shows, but I've been getting shit about my content, so I'm going to step my content game up a little bit more.
It's easier said than done. I'm right with you. I'm right with you.
I've been getting hella shit from Russ about my content.
I'm with you, bro, on that one. Like, bro, it's a lot.
I'm going to get it. And then it blew my mind recently because I did those TikToks.
Yeah.
They didn't really go viral on my shit,
mm-hmm.
but like she said, she know hella people and they went viral. Like every other day,
people sharing it. It's like going, people, you know, that I know from music sharing it and shit like that.
Big names and shit like that.
We about to drop a lot of content with Something Funny. So I don't know if y'all following the Something Funny page, but
come on, plug it. Come on, plug it. Where?
Something X Funny on Instagram, and then we have the YouTube as well. Yeah, okay. Just Something Funny, and it'll soon be on like Apple and all that shit.
It'll be in the description below. It'll be in the bottom.
It'll be all there. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. We're about to drop hella content for Something Funny.
Summer, let the people know where can they follow y'all, social media avenues. Where can they follow you? Instagram?
They can follow me on IG, GC_LanceyBeau. Like this summer, just, you know, work with me. I'm dropping more content, but this summer, as far as like shows and shit, I'm going crazy. I'm working on getting my own room and bringing in the comedians I know and doing my own thing.
Yes, sir.
I've been done a lot of these shows and a lot of this shit. And the comedy game is kind of clicky in NorCal because it's so low-key and it's so, like, tight-knit. Yeah. So it's, like, hard to get into other people's shit unless you, with, like, unless you, like, with they shit.
Unless you know to know.
You feel me? So, yep. I'm, like, we working on getting our own room. And when that happens, I'm going to be doing shows out the ass. This summer is going to be crazy. I'm going to be,
man,
every room I can, I'm going to. Right now, I'm building up my content and spending more time with my kids. So, when the summer come, you know, I don't feel like, you know, I get to so busy and going to these shows that I don't feel like I'm spending enough time with my kids as a person with kids. So, I'll be, like, facts. I took a little break from going to shows, and I'm in, like I just got a new job, so I'm in building up on that, and then now I'm working, spending time with my kids. So if I'm not working on content for the page, I'm just doing that. So you might not see me on a lot of shows. I'm hosting a couple things, but
we out here working. That's all you need to know. We're fucking working.
March 6th, you hosting?
March 6th, March 6th, I'm at the Touch of Class. You feel me? I don't know who the headliner is yet, but it will be on the flyer. It's some of NorCal's hottest comics coming through there to do their thing.
So we're gonna be sharing the shit out of it. So just follow the shit our pages and you'll know.
Let's go. Nah, that's major. Once again, thank you, ZZ. Thank you, Mr. Lancey Bow.
Thank you.
For a great episode. This has been episode fucking 51 of What's the Wave. Tune in every Wednesday. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace. Woo.
And just like that, that's a fucking wrap.
Sweat though.